Daniel 4 verse 24 says, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the King. So, again, that decree of the Most High is, the watchers got their ability to pass the decree down from the Most High, which is the Lord. Ultimately, He has the say-so. Verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men. And we went over this, I believe, last time about these evil messengers and evil angels and things like that. And just in passing, I want to say again, that's why it's important for us to get our heart right when we come to the Word of God, because based on your heart, you will get an answer from the Lord based on how your heart is. That's why Ezekiel 14 teaches that thing. We can have idols in our heart. And what happens is you wonder how some of these people get false doctrines and, like, you know, these Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and things like that. What happens is, y'all, they wanted that lie. So the Lord says, okay, this is what they wanted. That's why the desires of our heart need to line up with God, because guess what? If you don't want the truth, He'll send you a spirit, just like it happened in Kings. And He said, "Which one would go down here and deceive Ahab?" And this one sent on this manner, and the other one sent on the other manner, and the other one said, "I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets." And he went down there and did it and deceived them. And you know what happens? These people get a notion in their heart, and their evil, deceitful heart says, because the heart is deceitful above all things. See, that it would deceive you. So guess what? Hey, these watchers are watching these things, and here they come up with this decree and say, this one here is wanting to find justification for baptism saved. Well, how many times have rejected the truth? I mean, you just imagine how this thing goes off. And he's rejected the truth, and he said, okay, the Lord sends a strong delusion. And out of the own Bible verse, right here, they'll say, well, I'll just stop in Acts 2.38. Even though Acts 15 says something different, even though Ephesians and Galatians says something contrary to that right there, I'll just go ahead and you know what happens? Here's a minister comes out. Oh, he's a nice person. Oh, what do you mean? That guy wouldn't deceive me. He's nice. And see, that it don't matter. And what happens is that heart takes that thing, And you get this going on. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times, so you get this picture of Daniel's 70th week here too, and we'll go over some of that. Shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will. So God still does even today have a hand in the affairs that goes on, and we get the leader we deserve because of how the hearts are and what's going on in the hearts of men. And that's like our leaders today. You see some of these things going on, and you know what a lot of it is? It's because the hearts are so evil. And see, it's like the old preacher used to say, the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. You know what people talk about, how, well, this needs to be regulated, and that needs to be regulated. We need to regulate the alcohol. Well, guess what's wrong with alcohol? Alcohol. That's the problem. I mean, it's just, yeah, all right, so sin is the root of the whole thing, and people try to figure out why this one's doing that, why that. Well, sin, I mean, it's so simple that people just completely stumble over the truth. And this thing here, he's doing this for a reason. Why? Till thou know. Know something. He's going to show him something out of this thing. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now, I want to show you something about this heavens do rule. Look at 2 Chronicles 20. Pretty good passage on this. You know, it's going to be amazing one of these days when the devil gets up there and all his evil, I just call them villains, but all these evil followers, men and fallen angels and everything else, they get up there and they think they were really doing something. And God's wisdom so surpasses theirs to the point that they don't realize all these things they were doing was just fulfilling God's will. That's crazy. Well, what's happening? Because look, God gives them free will, but He's so much smarter than them. They're doing these things and God's saying, you didn't realize I was allowing you to do that because I'm just allowing you to bring to pass right what I wanted you to. They can't outsmart God. The whole thing, and I know I tell y'all something, but as y'all turn it, I just get fascinated with this. Tell me what the heavens do rule. The devil was given the power of death. And he gets the Lord up on the cross, and he's, I got him. And the Lord takes the devil's own sword, and yeah, you did get me, didn't you? And whips him with his own weapon. Through death slew the devil. And Hebrews talks about that thing. Man, that's amazing, the plan of God. And the devil thinking, oh, he's really, and you know, I can't help but as I read, he's wanting to get him on the cross, wanting to get him on the cross. And Pilate's ready, and all of them, everything's lined up, and they get up there, and they say, I can't help but to think he's up there just, the Lord just as calm. He's planning his own funeral and everything else and taking care of his mama and everything else. And while he's up there on the cross and just calmly talking this thing through. And if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Then he's starting to realize, I just can't help but to wonder, is he starting to realize what's going on here? He's being too good, too calm about this thing. Oh man, he's going, you know, I just wonder that stuff, you know. And it's just amazing the wisdom of God. He rules. And look at this thing, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 6. It says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? The answer is yes. And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand me? Yes, he sure is. And you know what? The kingdoms can try to withstand him all they want to, and guess what happens? Yeah, there may be some little battles won here and there, and so. But in the end, the war is already spoken for. The war is already won. We're fighting from victory. That's a blessing, man. Yes, sir, the heavens do rule. And he's going to learn it. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Now, look, here's a good dispensational passage. If you can find one, here's one right here. And break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, can you break off your sins by righteousness? And, you know, Gentile, you got a good picture right here of a Gentile in the Old Testament being told what to do. Now, break off thy sins. Now, look at a parallel to this. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Here's one. If you ever debate with very many Carmelites, Armenians, stuff like that, they'll take you to this. And the thing is, it's got to be dealt with. I mean, these things are in the Bible. But thank the Lord that the answer is there if you will take the Bible at face value. You can't, you know, I've even tried, I have heard men and read some of the things that men have pointed me to try to completely explain this passage away. It's not hard if you take it face value. It's just not us. There are things in there that's just not for us doctrinally. Ezekiel 18 verse 24 says this. Now y'all, I don't see how you can get any more clear than this. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, this Old Testament, and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Now that's a simple question. It says this, all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin. Remember, Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. In his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Y'all, I'm not going to try to explain that away or anything else. In the Old Testament, men had an outward righteousness. And that righteousness was kept by doing what God said do in his law. But they couldn't just do it. Another thing too, they couldn't just do it and just go through the motions. Their heart had to be in it too. I could show you passages for that. So it had to be, it was connected with faith. They had to do it in faith, but guess what else too? There was an element of works connected to that thing, and guess what happened? If they died in the state and their heart wasn't right,
The Bible says they die in their sin. Now, I don't say you get any clearer is what I should have said. All right, so that's why you have another place in your Bible in Revelation. This is after the church age. You've got a thing going on where it talks about keeping their commandments in Revelation 12 and Revelation 14. Why? Because the sealing of the Holy Spirit's not there, and you've got an element of works connected with that thing. In the salvation and the tribulation. That's why I've told you before, and I believe I've taught you right, connected with the commandments is their salvation, because those 10 commandments, that's why the commandments, and it's not connected with the law, because they can't keep the whole law. We know that. But another thing too, they can't do the sacrifices, but guess what? Those commandments can keep them from taking the mark of the beast. And once they take that mark of the beast, y'all, that's it. And you think about it over and over again. If you put God first and you have no other gods before Him, well, you're not going to put a false god before Him. You're not going to take the mark of the beast. And on it goes. You're not going to worship images. You're not supposed to worship. That's in the commandments. You're not going to commit adultery. That's part of the worship service in the tribulation. Well, you think about the adulterous things that goes on today. That's going to be connected one of these. All those things, those 10 commandments, would keep them from doing that. And you know, that's why he says keep them. And that thing is going to be connected. Why? In the tribulation, if they take the mark of the beast, the Bible says any man, Revelation 14, who takes the mark of the beast, the smoke of their torment will send up forever and ever and ever. And that's going to be there. Well, in the Old Testament, this Gentile here, he's told. So you got Jewish, you got the Jews. They're told to keep the law in the Old Testament, and the commandments are part of that law. But this guy here, what's a Gentile to do? Well, one thing we know from reading Daniel here is he can break off his sins by and have righteousness by what showing mercy to the poor. Well, you know what's amazing? You've got a man over in your Gospels in the book of Luke, and you know what this rich man does? He's rich just like Nebuchadnezzar. He don't show mercy to the poor to Lazarus. Guess what happened to him? He goes to hell. And in hell, he lift up his eyes in torments. And see, what's it connecting you to? See, Antichrist, how they're treating the poor. See, here's Nebuchadnezzar, a picture of the Antichrist. Guess what else? Treatment of the poor in the tribulation. That's a picture. Luke is also a picture of the tribulation. Why? Because the whole time when the Lord is there, that He's preaching the kingdom is coming. So you got last days in those Gospels. That's why you got all kinds of sermons and lessons you can see there, right there in the Gospels of the Lord. He's preaching the kingdom is at hand. And turn in your Bible, if you will, to Psalms 41. This thing about the poor. They're going to supposed to be treating the poor right in the tribulation. And treating the poor right is connected with the time of Jacob's trouble. And you'll see it over the Psalms. People don't read the Psalms. But y'all, read those Psalms. There's all kinds of a prophecy in the Psalms. Psalm 41, look at verse 1. Watch this thing here. I think this book is amazing. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord would deliver him where? In time of trouble. See that thing connected with Jacob's trouble right there. See his treatment of the poor. And the Lord would preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. See there? The enemies. It's connected with the tribulation too. Of course, we can get spiritual application of the psalm, but that's doctrinally, you can put that right in the tribulation. It'll fit right there. And so Nebuchadnezzar is told here to break off his sins by righteousness. Now, another thing I want you to see, there's a difference in that salvation, the Old Testament, New Testament. One of your main verses here, this is the one that got me. I want to show it to you. Deuteronomy 24. If you haven't marked it already, this was the one when I was reading through my Old Testament. This is the one right here that really got me. And I said, there's no way that that they're the same as far as your salvation goes. Deuteronomy chapter number 24, and I'll show you this right here. Here's one of them. It says in verse number 13, in any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. It shall be righteousness. Now, I accidentally gave you the wrong verse. I said Deuteronomy. It's actually Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. But that's another good verse right there. It shall be righteousness unto thee. That's works. Connected with that righteousness there. It's actually the verse I wanted to show you was actually Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. I wrote it down wrong in the margin of my Bible. Here's the text here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness. What's that? Doing the law and the statutes. It shall be our righteousness. Watch this. If. Y'all, that matches Hebrews 3, 6, 14, 10, 26, and 38 and 39. If. Y'all, there's no if, why? Without works. Romans 4, 5. We are justified by faith, by grace through faith. Not connected with works. Romans 4, 5 is your verse there. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us. See, righteousness was commanded under the law, doing those things, and that those works were connected, and that faith and works were connected there. And if they didn't do them, guess what happens? They could die. There was a chance they could die in their sins, and they could go to hell. But now I will say this: if you'll read through that law, there God is merciful. There was times like whenever they was in the wilderness, they couldn't keep it. Like we know God's merciful. You've got all kinds of times under that law where people were given mercy. And they were shown grace all through that. But still, the command is still there. And you got the passage in Ezekiel. And that's like a lot of people say, what about David? He didn't lose his salvation. He committed adultery and murder. David had the sheer mercies of David. And that's what we've got. He had a type of what we've got today. And you can read that in the book of Acts. And find out also in Isaiah, I think it's around chapter 55, he had the sheer mercies. That's showing you what we have. And y'all, it goes on and on. But man, thank the Lord. I thank the Lord all the time. Well, in my prayer, I thank God for eternal security. Because, man, if you think about what we've got on us today, people talk about those laws and things like that, and I know that's time-consuming and things like that, but if you look at what we've got under Pauline doctrine today, y'all, I'm going to tell you something. I could lose my just right and left and right and left. Something bad happens to you, give thanks always. That's a command. You know, it's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, be ye filled. I'm going to tell you something. When we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, and then we use our free will to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That is a sin. Now, that's serious. I don't think a lot of times we don't take it serious enough. We don't realize. We just said, when God said in His Word, He said, you do this, and we said, no, I'm not going to do that. You just said in your mind, you know more than God. We don't look at it like that. We just said, ah, no, I know what's best. That's tough, man. You think about God, a loving, holy God says, I know more than I created the world and everything, and we believe it, we read it, we know it. And He says, I want you to do this. And I want you to rejoice right now. No, I don't want to rejoice. I want to be sad. I don't have a pity party. I said rejoice. Because God knows more than us. But we think we know more than God. And y'all, that's a hard pill to swallow. I can't wait till I get in my new body and I have to fight this old flesh. And one of these days I can praise God like I know He deserves. But right now, man, it's a constant thing. And I will thank God, but I thank God for eternal security. But there's a difference in Old Testament, New Testament. And I want to show you some, of those things, and we'll go over them again as we go through this Bible here. But I want to show you that's a clear difference. But does that look like a difference to you guys? You can tell when you look at that thing at face value, there's a difference there. And he's told to treat the poor right. Well, you know what happens? There's coming a time in the tribulation where the Jew is supposed to be treated right and the poor is supposed to be treated right. And there's going to be sheep nations and goat nations. And you imagine those nations come up and those people who haven't treated that Jew right and haven't treated the poor right. And the Lord says, depart from me. Man, you workers, see, of iniquity. Here comes these prophecy teachers and stuff like that. And the Lord saying, you had people turning to blood moons and stuff like that when I told you to turn to the blood of Jesus Christ. And man, depart from me, you old worker. Man, I tell you, that's going to be tough. I saw a guy, Carl and I saw this guy. He was going up through there in this Chevrolet, and he had the back glass of his window. He said, "It says Semper Fi," and on the other side it says "Stand for Israel," real big with a big old. And I thought to myself, "I said, man, that's a blessing right there," because you don't see that. Most people are too scared to even put that up there. And I tell you what, one of these days it's coming. And see, Israel, the Jews are going to be poor while nobody's going to have anything to do with them. And are already treated pretty bad as it is. And so you got this guy, he's been told this. But look at this too. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Well, you know what tranquility is? That's just a state of being, a state of mind. You know, what's happening is he's about to lose his mind. Well, you know what that shows us as far as spiritually speaking? Whenever we don't confess our sins to God and keep up our fellowship, you know what happens? You lose your tranquility. You know what that's called in the New Testament term? Searing your conscience. You know, a lot of people are so paranoid. And you know why so many people, I know people, that, look, if you laugh, I know, I can name them right now. If you laugh, they think you're laughing about them. If you're over there talking, you say, "Hey, man, what are you saying over there? You said something about me?" You know what's happening? They don't have tranquility. What's happening is they've seen, you know what happens? They've talked about people and they think you're talking about them. They've laughed at others and they think you're laughing. And what's happening is that thing is coming through. And I'm telling you, see, you're looking at a man who's about to lose his tranquility. Why? Because of his sins. You know what? I know that there are always some things that happen in people's life. I realize that. But a lot of this stuff that goes on, and I dare say most of it that goes on in people's minds is because of sin. They are literally losing their mind. There are cases of people who have sinned. They've done so much stuff it bothers them so bad that they're literally in an insane asylum because of things they've done in the past. There are people who literally beat themselves. Literally beat themselves just awful scars that they have because they feel so bad about things that they've done. You know why? Because only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from sin. And they're trying to get some kind of way and a means of forgiving, and you lose your tranquility. You know what we have as Christians? We have the means of getting that tranquility right back all the time. Why? Because I can go to my loving Father and I can say, "Father, I've done this, I've done that, and I've done the other thing." And the Bible says He will forgive us of our sin. I've got that confidence. Now somebody else can say, "How could God forgive you?" I'll tell you how, because He sent His only begotten Son. He shed perfect, precious blood, the Bible says. And because of that blood, I can go to the Father and get forgiveness. And He can look down and see. It's just amazing what we can get through the Lord. Now, this is what happens. It says, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon." Now, I want to tell you something about this thing. That man was warned. And at the end of 12 months, this thing, he gave him a year. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know when that year come in. God knew it, though. God knew it. And I tell you, I just wonder sometimes, you get some of these people. There was a guy who survived a shark attack. And he gets on here and he does not give God one bit of the glory for surviving this thing. And like 4 months later, that man dies in a car accident or something like that. I forget which, but it's either a heart attack or a car accident. But you know what amazes me? I think about that thing. And that guy had this testimony and he said, oh man, it was just a lucky thing that I got, you know, helped on my board and I wasn't bit in half and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, man, that God, not even, because some of these people say, praise God, I was calling out for God, Jesus, help me, you know. And this man right here, he nearly gets bit half in two, and he makes it to the hospital, and he don't give God any glory. You know what happens? Stuff like this right here. 12 months later, to the day, he loses his mind. Now, I want to show you a couple of verses you already know. But the reason why this happened, Ecclesiastes 8:11, we'll go through some of these quickly because it's stuff you know, but man, it's good to look at this. I'm telling you, some of these practical applications is something that'll help you. Ecclesiastes 8:11, I tell you why a lot of people go downhill. They don't realize it, but God's trying to give them a chance. Why does a lost man, y'all, you ever wonder, why does a lost man keep going over and over and over, you know, month after month, and nothing happens? Well, God's trying to give him some leeway so he gets saved. That's the only reason why a lost man gets mercy like that, is because God's trying to give him plenty of time. He's not willing that any should perish. All right. Well, here's your verse, Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart, see, it's the heart. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Have you ever heard people say, yeah, his heart's set? See that thing? They set their heart. And they say, well, nothing's happened. And I'm telling you, it happens. Adam and Eve didn't die physically for a long time, but spiritually, right then. What people don't realize is what happens spiritually will not manifest for a long time physically. I know some people who started off when we was in high school, and you couldn't see it because I knew what was going on because I know them. They would in deep sin and deep sin and deep sin. You tell them, man, you're going to get hooked. I'm telling you, that stuff's going to mess you up, man. That dope is going to eat you up. I'm telling you, I've seen people who, you ain't been down to jail. You know, you tell these people, yeah, I've been down there and seen them. What happened to these people? Teeth falling out and stuff. Well, no, you know what? You see them today, and y'all, I'm 34, and they look like, you know, I hate to even say, twice my age, because I know people twice my age that take care of themselves look real good. You know, that's why I'd say, man, they look twice my age. Man, I know people in their 70s look great. They're taking care of. They look hideous, is the word. They look hideous. They look like a prune, and they look like they're just like they've been eating something black, and all the teeth broke off. You know what happened? What happened spiritually? Is finally manifesting itself out. When, you know what's happening? That old dead conscience. And what happens? They keep going further and further and further off in the darkness. And man, it's a bad thing. What happens speedily, they just get, their heart gets set. They say, well, they just take God's mercy for granted. And just gets worse and worse and worse. And they go out in the Moab, see that wash pot. And I heard an old preacher back a long time ago, he said this, and I wrote it in the margin of my Bible. He said, some wash out and some wash up in Moab. Some of them wash out and they become a wash out. Some of them actually get out there and they get afflicted like Naomi. And she said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Well, dang, David said, I've learned, for the afflictions, I've learned thy statutes. Some of them wash up. And you know what happens? Most of them wash out. Like this, like these people here, some of them wash out. Now let me give you another one here. Not only in Ecclesiastes, but look at Isaiah 1. Here's your good one, Isaiah chapter 1. And this is one of my favorite verses here. And I think about this verse every time whenever we go up there to Memphis. To preach this word, right? This verse comes to my mind. Come now, verse 18, and let us reason together. What's that reason? Let's use a little logic here. You know, it said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Some people say, well, your sin black as sin. Well, sin's like the sin's red. Why? It's bloody. They shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Now I wish I had some of that red clear. It's like a red clear cellophane stuff you can get, and you can write. You can take this red clear cellophane and write on a whiteboard in red. And then red, and you can look through this little glass, and we've got it around here somewhere, and you look through this little glass and you'll see white. That's how it is with the Lord. See, the sins are red. And then the Lord Jesus shed His blood red, and you can look through, when the Father looks down through that thing, He looks at you, He sees white. Man, that's amazing, man. I'll try to get that thing together for y'all. But we've got, why sins are red. But see, reason. Come to let us reason together. God's trying to reason. All right, now let me show you something else. Isaiah chapter 30. This is what it's like, though. It's like Israel. Here's you a good type of this thing, what happened with Israel. Kind of like this deal with Nebuchadnezzar and many others. It says this in Isaiah 30 in verse number 15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest," this is very interesting, "shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." See, returning, you'll find rest. See, people, I wish they'd get it. You're not going to find rest until you return to the Lord. Another thing, too, people aren't quiet now. They don't have no quiet time. See? You'll find your confidence. You know, if you don't have a quiet time with the Lord, you're not going to find that confidence. You're not, you know, without spending time with God. All right? But you would not. But you said, "No. For we will flee upon horses." Isn't that, don't you know God thinks that's funny? You know, we think a horse is fast. It's like the Flash. It's like an ant running from the Flash or something. You know, the Lord, this guy's galloping off like this right here, and the Lord's able to just speak Himself right there in front of that horse, you know. And the Lord made, don't you know that they think they're galloping? I mean, when I picture that, I'm thinking the Lord's like, where are you going? Dust just flying. He thinks he's really getting somewhere. You know, you're running from the Lord. It says, "Upon horses, therefore, shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift." Oh, man. "Therefore shall they pursue, they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one." See, sin makes cowards of us all. That's why Adam, here he is walking with God one minute and he's sinned, he's hiding from Him. See there? All right, it says, "And we will ride upon the swift." All right, let's see. "At the rebuke of 5 shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on the hill." See, the Lord is trying His best to, you know, you get this picture of Nebuchadnezzar. He gives a warning. Well, like with us in our walk with the Lord, I tell you something. He gives us a verbal rebuke. That's why it's good to get in that Bible each day. And I'm just like y'all. There's some of those verses that wasn't talking to me. Do y'all ever do that? Sometimes I'll get in something and I'll have something on my mind or something. It's like that word just, and I'll say, and I'm telling you, it's the flesh. I said, that wasn't directed toward me. and I know that it was. Well, what the Lord's trying to give you the verbal rebuke and saying, don't do that. Don't go down there. Why? Because He's trying to give you the rebuke with the word instead before He gives you the whipping. Well, when Nebuchadnezzar got the warning, but see, because sentence was not executed speedily, he set his heart. Now, guess what happens to his heart? His heart was changed like a beast. Now, we'll go on a little further. Just dig in here a little deeper now. Watch what he does. This is what happens when you reject the word. You get full of pride. "The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built?" You can always tell when you're starting to get full of pride. Listen to your own speech. "I did this. You know, the other day I did. Oh, and I did this the other day." And the other day, before long, everything's about you. See, and then you can always tell when somebody's full of that pride. You know, it's because I was down here, and because of me, I talked to this one guy, and he said, "Yeah, when I was down there at that church," he said, "I was the one that built that parking lot." And he said, "I had so-and-so Sunday school, and I had so-and-so. We was running so-and-so that..." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand. And you know what happened? I'm not any better. It could happen to anybody. But you know what? I knew right then. I said, I better get away from this guy. Because I heard that all the time. And I know with my own self, well, you can make a mess with that you know who made the biggest mess in my life? When I get to do it, well, I did this. And the Lord says, okay, watch what happens. I did this for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. Alright? And for the honor of my majesty. Now, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, don't you know this was scary? Just as scary as Belshazzar. The voice come down from heaven, the Bible says, and says, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Man, you imagine that? Alright, you got a sevenfold thing come here. Why? Set a perfect decree from God, because His decrees are perfect. It says it later on. But watch seven things. Number one, the kingdom is departed from thee. Number two, and they shall drive thee from men. Number three, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Number four, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Number five, and seven times shall pass over thee. Number six, unto thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Number seven, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. So you know what you have? A perfect sevenfold judgment. How do you know? Look at verse 37. It says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol into this thing, and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways, judgment. So you don't realize His ways are judgment. You don't realize He's able to judge each and every single way. You go this way, He's able to judge that thing. Why? He's trying the reins of the heart. You go this way, Abraham and Lot. Alright, which way are you going to go, Lot? Lot says, well, you know, it looks pretty good. And Abraham said, whichever way you pick, he said, I'll go the other way. See, he's trying. And we'll see, guess what happens? Because Abraham does what's right, he goes down the right road. Lot, no, that's a little well, water. For lack of a better word, what a mean guy. I mean, that's very selfish, man. I mean, he goes, no, that'll look well watered down. You go down there in the desert, where you see what happens. And he goes down there and gets deceived, and before long he's down there with the Sodomites. See, his ways are just perfect. Sevenfold thing. Now let me show you something else too. If you reject God and His Word, unnatural affections naturally occur. Why the Bible says in 2 Timothy, I think I've got it right here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, it says that without natural affection, what's happened? Those people have rejected the Word of God. Now, you know what happens to a people when the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and they reject that command right there? They're killing their own babies. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, it's not a baby. It's not a baby. Well, the things in there, it's obviously a baby. All right. Well, what happens is they have rejected God. All right. You got people nowadays. They'll just kill their own babies. You know, this one mother, she killed her whole family. All right. So what happens is you've got without natural affection. One, they transgressed the Word of God. They rejected the Word of God. What's happened? Watch this. See, it says, in the verse there, verse 33, the same hour was the king, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. All right, so he gets a beast heart. All right, now this is pretty interesting here. You remember your Bible? Write this down, or you can turn there. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Peter, chapter 2. And verse 12, it says, but these, what's these people? They've denied the Lord that bought them. That's what these people have done here. So they've denied the Lord. They've denied the word of the Lord and the truth. Verse 2, they've spoken evil of the truth, just like Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so verse 12 said, but these, as natural brute beasts,
made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They've transgressed the commandment of God. They're like beasts. All right. What's interesting is this, and I'll try to tie some of this together, and then we'll pick it up again. Look, well, we're in the neighborhood. Look over here at Jude, and then we'll go back to Corinthians. Jude verse 10, talking about these beasts. He had a beast heart. All right, it's connected to rejecting the things of God. Jude verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." All right, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Well, they did it themselves. You know what people don't realize? The worst thing that they can do is for a man to get his own way. God's saying, "You don't want to go your way." People, I want what I want. God says, if you do that, you'll think just like an animal. All right. Well, what happens is people don't realize this. Ecclesiastes says that when the spirit goes, the spirit returns to God who made it. Ecclesiastes 12. All right. Well, a lot of people don't let the spirit of beast does too. Well, that's the thing that connects God to man. Well, a lost man has a spirit, but the spirit's dead, so that spirit can't connect to God. So whenever you get saved, that spirit is born again. Your connection is there again. You're able to communicate with God. Now, you take these people who reject the things of God and the Word of God and things like that. Here they go, and all they've got is a connection to the ground, and they get filled with these unclean spirits. And you know what happens? Because they find a connection. You know, people say, I couldn't find no connection with them. Wonder why we say these things. We don't even realize what we're saying. What's happening is they're getting a connection, all right. Man, I went there and the Spirit was there. Yeah, you found a connection. What happens is that thing gets addicted. Why? Because man naturally wants a connection with God. So if he can find something to fill that thing, and what happens is he rejects the Word of God, and all of a sudden these notions start coming in. They start getting filled with these things, and it's unnatural. And man, before long, they're doing things that who knows what all they're doing. That's like Nebuchadnezzar and things like that. Some of these people, they've got access to information and things like that that some people don't even have access to. And what happens is they get filled with so much junk. They're filled with so much stuff, man. And what's happening is we don't realize that there's radio waves going through the air. You're connected with stuff that, like right now, there's passing through our bodies radio waves and stuff like that. That's why you have to get in this Bible and get clean and get pure. Why? Because you've got stuff going on we can't even see. And you wonder why these notions come in here and these notions come. You got to weigh everything by the Word of God, be renewed and transformed. Why? Your mind. Why? Because that thing can go just like a natural brute beast, and you can be just like the Lord called Herod that fox. And he calls some people, they're like hogs. And the Sadducees and Pharisees were like vipers and like snakes and stuff like that. He's saying, you're being like that beast. See, you're beast. Beast mentality is coming through. And he said, that's exactly what you're, just like a snake in the grass, see. And that thing is turning, well, because you cannot reject the Word of God. If you do, it's just like, and it's showing you how this thing happened. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And show you this. I just think this was so interesting here. This is something sometimes you pass over. But Paul is fighting men, obviously. Obviously, he's fighting men. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, he says, if after the manner of men, they're men, but watch this, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Well, you see what he's saying there? These men, he's men, but guess what happened? They're completely given over to earthly passions.
And they're kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. What's Nebuchadnezzar do? He turns into an ox. An ox feeds off the earth, and animals naturally look down. They don't look up. We look up under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They're always looking down and feeding off things of the earth. And see, they're earthy, earthly minded. Jesus told Nebuchadnezzar, I tell you earthly things you don't understand. How in the world am I going to tell you heavenly things? You know why most of these people don't even care anything about heavenly things? They're not looking up in the begin with. They're looking down. You know, all this stuff. Well, what's happening is people are so influenced by the things of the world. Well, this is just like a beast mentality. Now, let me show you something else that's interesting about Daniel here. Daniel chapter number 4. I think this is very interesting. Whenever he gets down and Nebuchadnezzar being connected to this ox and he's looking down. Now, I may be going a little bit too far here. I'll try to tell you if I am, but I think it's interesting. A counterfeit of the Lord is the Antichrist. And Nebuchadnezzar here is picturing the Antichrist. The Antichrist in Revelation 6, he comes on a white horse when the Lord comes back on a white horse. He wants to counterfeit him. All right. Verse number 33. It's in verse 33. Well, how old was the Lord Jesus when he died? He was 33 years old. And when you got a man, literally coming down, and being just like a beast, in verse number 33, like an oxen connecting him to the devil. And, what you have is also a king. Well, you know what? People are completely, taken up with youth nowadays. Now, y'all, there's nothing wrong with putting lotion on your face and taking care of you. Y'all understand that. But you got people literally, this, Musk guy, what's that guy's name? Elon. That guy he's a nutcase, man. And he is infatuated with youth and everlasting and trying to make these bodies live forever. And he's got a whole following of these people. You see what I mean? People, what it is, y'all, they're trying to get what only Christ can give. They're trying to rob God and don't even realize it. That's amazing. And you know what? Youth. You know what you're going to find out? There's going to come a man one of these days that's going to have all the characteristics that everybody's wanting, and he'll fulfill the bill for every religion, and he'll have an answer to all the world's problems. And guess what? He'll probably be a young man. He'll be able to identify with everybody. He'll have the wisdom and everything else. And you know what? Absalom sure was beautiful, wasn't he? See, Saul sure did have the stature, the strong stature. Each one of these men had something to point you to the Antichrist, and he'll be the fulfillment of every bit of that stuff. And he'll be just like Judas there. Yeah, he's walking along right alongside Jesus Christ there, and he was able to fool just about everybody other than the Lord. Well, that Antichrist is going to be able to fool that many people, and he'll be able to fool the religious crowd of that day. And that's showing you why. Because people don't check anything by the Bible now. Well, what's happening is you've got to get people off the final authority. And we're living in a time just like Judges. Why? There was no king during that time, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And see, you've got a thing coming up, and it's pointing you right to it, right in the Bible. And we better stop there, because we're getting a whole different thing here very shortly. But we'll stop there for now.